Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, and today I'm live at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Lobbying Day.
Well, good morning, everybody. And I think everybody in the room knows me. I'm Jerry Deshane. I'm the Executive Director of the League. I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you for being here. For those of you that are new at this, this is one of the essential parts of our business. When the League was created in 1898, lobbying the state legislature was half the reason we existed. The other half was to provide you with information and education. But for as long as Wisconsin has been a state, we have been interacting with the legislature, sometimes positively, other times not so much. But at the end of the day, they are state representatives. They represent your communities just as you do. They're representing those same citizens, and they need what you have. They need the information you have about what's really going on in your community. And what we want to do today is, first of all, provide you with some information about what issues the League is working on your behalf. But then when you go to meet with your legislators, what we're looking for you to do is to provide them with the local color. Why does this matter to Cottage Grove? Why does this matter to Darlington, to Sheboygan, to Stoughton? You can fill in those details. And unless a legislator doesn't want to get reelected, those details matter to them. So I want to thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Gwen. My name is Mike Vandersteen, and I'm the mayor of Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Now, you're here to go as part of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Lobbying Day to talk to the legislators about some issues in your community. What's one of the major issues you're going to be talking with them about?
Well, one of the major issues is transportation. The city of Sheboygan's facing aging infrastructure, just like many communities are. And we're kind of hamstrung because we can't change our levy that much to cover the cost of this. So the only option for us is to go out and bond for these. The other problem is that the state has been pulling back some of those road aids over the years, and while they've creeped up a little bit, they haven't gotten back to the level that they were many years ago. And so we need some help from them to loosen some of those rules so that, you know, our taxpayers sometimes say, hey, I don't mind paying a little bit more, but fix the darn roads. I don't want to drive on roads like this. And City of Sheboygan actually went out and we bought our own paving machine, because another factor that happened years ago is they listened to the road builders and they told the cities that you can't go to your county and have them do any road work for you. So then that means we only have the road builders to go with, and that really was a problem for us. So we bought our own paving machine, and we can buy still asphalt from our county at a reduced price from the current market, and we do probably about 45% of the work that we do every year is done by a Sheboygan crew with that paving machine, just to make our dollars go further when it comes to resurfacing our roads.
How did you go about doing that? I mean, what helped you make that investment to say we're at the point where it's cheaper for us to buy our own paver and train our own employees to do it versus hiring people outside to come in and do it?
We still hire people outside to do it, and that's the other 55% of the project. But you know, when you're strapped and your only option is to bond more, well, we don't want to, you know, increase our bond that much because you pay that price down the road. So while bonding is a component of it, we looked at this as another way to have give our taxpayers a more immediate return on their investment and make those dollars go further.
Do you have an estimate of how the total mileage or the total amount of work that you're doing every year?
Sure. Right now, Sheboygan has about 200 miles of roads. And when I came into office 6 years ago, and the past decade, we had only resurfaced about 2.2 miles of roads every year. So gradually, we've increased it to 3, 3.5, 5, 6. And this last year in 2018, resurfaced 7.2 miles of roads. So we've really, you know, almost tripled where we were from the past, and so we're putting a lot more emphasis into it. We have a 14-year repaving program to get through our 200 miles of roads, but, you know, there's still roads that aren't addressed, and then you have the potholes that pop up just because of the freeze-thaw cycle. and all those have to be dealt with.
My name is Kathy Eli. I'm the mayor of the city of Wauwatosa, which is in southeastern Wisconsin.
Why are you here at the lobbying day? What do you hope to talk to your legislators about?
Well, for Wauwatosa, the dark store and Walgreens loophole issues are very, very significant. This is something that we have been on the forefront of having to deal with because of the makeup of our city. And so we also are the city that has had the most challenges and lawsuits on commercial property. So that has been an ongoing thing for me in Madison over the last 4 years.
Right. So when you're talking about, when you're talking to them, what are you asking them to do? Are you asking them to pass the legislation that was there before or start working on a compromise? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, the legislation that was proposed and held up in committee is really the legislation that we would like to have ultimately passed. Now, I understand there's been a change in some of the elected officials who had signed on, so we're in the process of getting sponsors for that bill. And that's something that I will be talking with my representatives about today.
What would it mean to your community if this was changed? How would it directly impact your community?
Well, we have at any current time going between 10 and 14 challenges of major property. And if everything that is right now in the process of being challenged, we would lose about $43 million of property value in Wauwatosa. So this has been a growing problem, and we, several years ago as a community, made the decision to take these, to fight them in court, really, really take a stand on it. So our legal fees have gone up to between $500,000 and $600,000 on this. We can't afford to continue to do this, nor should any community, but we really feel strongly on this that there is an inequity, and it is shifting that tax burden to the individual homeowners and small businesses and small residential units. So it really is having a negative impact. It doesn't impact our total budget, but it shifts the tax responsibility, and yet the individual homeowners are not the ones that are using the majority of our police and fire services. So we really are just looking for an equity and a fair share of responsibility in the community for the operations and the taxing.
Is there anything else that you'll be talking to your legislators about today, or is this the key issue for you?
Well, for us, this is a key issue, but I will also, I am on the League board, so I make sure that I cover the League legislative agenda, so I will be talking about that as well.
When we come back, you'll hear from more local officials talking about what they need in their communities.
All right, it's a cold February, snowy morning here in Madison, Wisconsin. We're lobbying to close the dark store loopholes. Make sure you listen to hashtag LocalGovMatters. And I'm Ryan Sorensen. I'm on the Sheboygan City Council.
Welcome back to hashtag LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report. Today, I'm live at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Legislative Lobbying Day.
I'm John Wydell, and I'm the Village Administrator and Economic Development Director for the Village of Maguanago in Wisconsin. We're located on the border of Walworth and Waukesha County in southeastern Wisconsin.
So is the dark stores issue affecting your community?
Yes. I think in some ways we're fortunate that we're not a community reliance on the big box economy, but we do have a Walmart and a Home Depot. And last year we were engaged in some litigation and then went to mediation with Walmart, and we expect to do the same thing this year. So a whole lot of discussions boiled down. It meant about $50,000 to the taxpayers last year. And I'm not sure where we're going to end up this year. I'd like to think it would be less than that, but right, this is a process that I'm only a part of. We have a team, right? We're insured. We have a company that's handling this and working with Walmart. And at some point, I expect the court to require we go to mediation again then I expect to be in a similar circumstance having a similar conversation.
You're here today as part of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Legislative Lobbying Day. And what is your talking point, or what is it that you're asking the legislature to do with dark stores?
So my message, I've got legislators that have been, one of the legislators I'm talking with has been not very declarative on where they are on the issue. But my main message is there's got to be a solution somewhere. We don't have a village assessor. We rely on an assessment firm as many, or an appraisal firm as many other communities do. And somehow between these large organizations, whether that's the the Manufacturers Association or the Chamber of Commerce and the appraisers who have representation in the league and the legislator, there's got to be a compromise out there, because operating in the uncertainty is really what's not helping. If the state and the courts and whomever wants to decide that this is going to be an effect that's going to exist, let's find a way for these effects to take place without having to go through protracted litigation and the cost and the uncertainty to the taxpayer and having the fluctuations and having to pay money back. It's hard to forecast for that. And so I also think there's a compromise out there that works for everybody. You know, not every building is similar, not every location is similar. Traffic counts, the price of real estate, the attractiveness of the investment. I get all of that, but somewhere in there, there's compromise. Sorry for the long answer.
No, that's great. So one of the things that you guys are also talking with legislators about today are shared services and the ability to cooperate and some of the rules that affect that. How does that impact your community?
Sure. We have one shared service right now. We share a fire emergency service with the town of Maguanago. We've talked about other opportunities, whether that's a regional consolidation of those same services, or we took some tentative steps to at least talk about the pros and cons of exploring that with our police services. However, when you dig into the research and the findings and the case studies of the consolidations that have been successful or the ones that have not, they all roughly run a similar course, and a lot of it is about the community identity and the ownership. So, you know, ownership and control and decision making and splitting that authority is largely the single biggest challenge that gets between the taxpayers on both sides, or the elected officials and the staffs. And ironically, it's not the financial stuff that is out in the forefront. So, again, I just have a message for the legislators, and that's, I think there's a way to work through this. If communities are going to work through the political challenges and the challenges to convince one's own community, or work to convince another's community, that a consolidation, which results in a rebranding and a change of the name and all of that, is beneficial, simply the payoff being the ability to lower the levy limit by whatever you save, which is not very often a substantial enough amount to matter on the tax levy for thousands of people, it's usually not worth it. However, if municipalities and the organizations that partner in this way are allowed to redirect that money to other priorities, whether that's transportation or filling the hole we have from the dark store problem that Maguanago is facing, that becomes much more palatable, I think, for the elected officials to decide to tackle as an issue. I think the theme here is local control. If the state wants to encourage us to consolidate these services and merge and share and look for efficiencies, the organizations that are initiating those and executing those and potentially receiving a benefit should then also be able to decide what happens with that, right? Our taxpayers can choose to merge our services, but they then cannot choose what to do with the benefits of doing that. And so I think there's a disconnect in the logic of where that legislation currently sits, and I think it could be much improved.
Is there anything else that you're going to be asking your legislators today while you're in the Capitol?
Continue promoting economic development. You know, continue to ensure that the state is working with various agencies to continue promoting new manufacturing, continuing to reach out to technical colleges and high schools and ensure that the workforce in Wisconsin is ready for the jobs that we have and that the jobs that are coming. You can dedicate all the time and resources you want to the transportation and luring businesses, but if the workforce isn't here to meet it, we're missing an integral component of continuing to grow and keep our tax base stable and ensure that property taxes can stay low like they are for the majority of Wisconsin residents and taxpayers.
My name is Eric Brooks, and I'm the mayor in the city of South Milwaukee.
So you're here today for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Lobbying Day to talk to your legislators. What is your first issue that you're going to bring up?
Yeah, my biggest issue, and one it will be no secret to both of them, to Senator Larson and Representative Rodriguez, is levy limit reform. Communities, and there's hundreds like South Milwaukee out there, big, small, urban, rural, red, blue, across the entire state of Wisconsin, struggle with funding government every day, funding the people and the services we need to provide every day. And I think a lot of that for us in these communities that are zero growth or little growth communities, a fair amount of that stems from levy limits. We've had 10 years of restrictions placed on us, saying basically you cannot increase your base property tax levy more than your net new construction, the amount you grow.
Right. And well, for you, what is that amount?
It varies year to year, but not a lot. Almost always under 1%, often well under 1%. We're talking 0.1%, 0.5%, 0.09%. These are the kind of numbers we've been dealing with now regularly for years, and this adds up. It's hard to fund your government and what people expect of you among services when your largest source of revenue is capped in that way, and we think unfairly. I think unfairly. It's tough, and certainly we found ways to be more efficient. We'll find ways to partner. We'll find ways to do more with less. We've done that. We've cut, and we can all of that. But there comes a point where enough is enough, and I think we've already passed that point, and we're going to continue to make that case in Madison.
So the League and many of you today are advocating for an inflationary floor in the levy limit. What would that mean for your community? What would you be able to do, or where would you start using those funds?
Sure. I mean, that means tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of potentially dollars that we could raise in revenue in a given year. And it's funding basically is people. Well over half of our budget is people. That's police officers, firefighters, DPW workers, health, city clerk, treasurer, library, whatever it is. I think the first place you look is people. People deliver services. That, I think, is a very fair and reasonable ask. Inflation, things cost more. My family budget. I'm married with two kids. Things cost more. I hope for a small pay raise every year from my employer to help cover the fact that things cost more. We've had 10 years of that not being reflected often in our budget, and we've had to deal with that accordingly. So I think it's a fair ask, a reasonable ask of lawmakers, and money that would make a real difference in South Milwaukee and on the front lines. The stuff that people see every day, the services people see every day, those dollars can make a real difference.
When we come back, you'll hear from more local officials talking about what they need in their communities.
Hi, I'm Bernie Coughlin with the City of Rona Police Department. We're asking you to listen to #LocalGovMatters.
You're listening to #LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm live at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Legislative Lobbying Day.
My name is Matt Heiser. I'm from the village of Keewaskum, which is a small community of 4,000 people in Washington County, and I'm the village administrator.
Okay. So you're here on the Legislative Lobby Day for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, and what is your focus going to be when you're talking to the legislators?
I'm going to talk about TIF law with them.
Okay.
TIF law is the primary tool that Wisconsin offers for economic development, and what it does is it reduces costs for developers and allows for a separate type of tax revenue to be generated that helps development. And we have a TIF in the village that has been struggling since the Great Recession, and we finally now have developers that are interested, but they want to develop multi-family residential buildings.
Okay, and your TIF is not for family residential?
No, it's the parcels that they own are, they're zoned light industrial.
Okay.
And we don't have any interested parties that want to build any light industrial facilities, and it's been that way since 05.
Okay.
And when a TIF earns revenue, that's called increment, that's the I in TIF, and we are still earning a little over $300,000 in increment per year, so the TIF is earning some money. It's just not earning enough to pay its own debt.
Okay.
And so the village is anxious to get development going.
Right.
And under current TIF law, we can't change the zoning to be residential, and we can't separate that parcel out so that it's its own piece. Our only option under current TIF law is to close down the entire TIF, which would mean we're not earning that $300,000 a year anymore.
Right.
And if something were to go wrong with the proposed development, the taxpayers would be on the hook for that $300,000.
What is the time frame? I mean, if you had to go that route with closing down the TIF and bringing in the new developer and then possibly creating a different TIF for the area that's left over, what would be the time frame to do that? How long would you go without making that increment?
It's probably about 3 years.
Okay.
Typically, besides the process to shut down the TIF and create a new TIF, it's generally a 3-year lag between when development is proposed and when you're actually earning money off of it. So you build it in year one, it's not assessed until the next year,
right,
and then you send out the tax bill for that new assessment in the December of that year. So it's about a three-year lag.
So what are you specifically going to be talking to legislators about today? What's your ask?
Let us change the zoning.
Okay.
It's that simple.
All right, and so that would involve what? Them passing a law?
Right. They'd have to change their current state statutes, don't allow that.
Okay.
So they'd have to change state statutes.
And so what kind of process are you looking for being able to change the designation of a TIF or change the zoning?
That they would just simply give us permission. I mean, the municipalities have the ability to change zoning of their parcels. And that's a process that's defined by state statute. So you have to have a public hearing and notify the neighbors,
right,
and have public notice. And I'm not asking for any of that to change. I want permission from the state to be able to go through that so that we can now put residential buildings on that parcel.
All right. Is there anything else that you're going to be asking for when you're meeting with legislators today?
I'm going to talk about, we have a significant memorial going up to the victims of 9/11. One of our graduates from Kewaskum High School was one of the three victims from Wisconsin in the World Trade Center that morning. Okay. So we're building a memorial in the village, and we're looking for recognition from the state. We've already got it from Washington County. And then the other items that are on the league sheet of talking points.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
That's the end of today's podcast. I hope you have enjoyed hearing from local officials as they discuss issues important to their communities. For additional information and links, go to www.thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. Thank you to our partners in community radio, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. A big thank you to Jackie Johnson for our sound editing. We always make her work hard when we do live broadcasts. Thank you to the Wisconsin Counties Association and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities for their partnership on this podcast.